Hi, good morning. Everyone must be tired, but glad to see you this morning. Pastor Sam is in New York today for a North Korea missions conference, and so speaking for EMP this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 22. Mark 8, 22. And it says, "They came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eye and laying his hands on him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see men, for I see them like trees walking around.' Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, 'Do not even enter the village.'" Verse 27, "Jesus went out along with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do the people say that I am?' They told him, saying, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets.' And he continued by questioning them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' And he warned them to tell no one about him." As many of us realize, life is very unpredictable. There is no formula. And here's a healing that Jesus does. And if you look at all of the healings throughout Scripture, Jesus never does healing the same way. And here's a healing that I actually can relate to the most, because I feel like this is what the style that Jesus heals in this passage is sort of the style that sort of happens when I try to pray for healing. And I love the visual aspect of this story. So here is a group of friends who bring this blind man. And that's important to know, because this blind man himself did not necessarily have the faith. There's no demonstration here that the blind man himself had any faith for healing. But here is a situation, once again, where his friends bring him to Jesus. And so in verse 22, it says, they, meaning some friends, brought a blind man to Jesus and asked him to touch him. And in verse 23, what Jesus does is that he himself takes the blind man by the hand. And that's an important detail to realize, that Jesus himself takes the blind man by the hand, takes him outside the village. And we'll discuss why he does that outside the village. But that's really important to understand, because there's something about the personal touch of Jesus. There's something about taking him by the hand. When you want to make a personal impression with somebody, you shake hands or you high five. That there's this connection of hands, or you know, you give each other high fives. But even people who are dating or married couples, when they walk down the street, in order to feel closer to one another, they hold hands. And so there's this thing about hands and holding hands that is quite personal. And what the Lord, I think, through this passage is wanting to share with us is that he's a personal God with you. Because for me, sometimes with my son Elijah, I want to discipline him. And so I'll command with my words, "Elijah, come here." And I'll give him that look, "Come here." And when I really want something to be done, I grab him by the hand and I'm bringing him. And this is in the context of discipline. But there's this personal touch that I have with my son. If I want him to do something, or if I want to communicate something to him, I grab him by the hand, I look him straight in the eyes, and I say, "Elijah, you know, whatever, don't touch this, don't do this." And Jesus could have simply said, as a commander-in-chief, looked him in the eyes and pointed with his fingers, "Come here." But instead, out of his gracious love, he takes him by the hand himself. And so here's this blind man walking throughout the village, through people, coming to the outside of the village with Jesus holding his hand. And then I love it. He goes and Jesus is facing him straight in the face, and he just does one of this, right in his eyes. And I can imagine this blind man going, "Whoa, what was that? What's going on? I don't understand." Jesus then lays his hands on him. And then he asks this question, what do you see? Or excuse me, not what do you see? He says, do you see anything? And that word anything is important because, I mean, Jesus could have said, do you see? And his answer could have been yes or no. And here, the blind man is now in a precarious position. He has to answer this question. Do you see anything? And he answers, I see something. I see something like trees. I mean, I think I see men. They look like trees walking around. And so we see here that there's not a full healing that's going on here. And that's encouraging to me because sometimes when I pray for somebody, I'll lay hands on them and I'll ask them, so how do you feel? And their response is, yeah, you know, it feels better. You know, I still feel pain and it feels a little better. And I get encouraged by that because it's, you know, at first I'm like, oh man, you know, I didn't do something. I didn't say the right words or I didn't shout loud enough or I didn't rebuke hard enough. And I get disappointed in myself because it's not a full healing. I expect them to be jumping up and down, you know, going crazy, you know, praising God. But, you know, a lot of times when I pray, it seems like, oh, it's okay. You know, they're trying to let me down really easy. Like, oh, you know, nice try, Pastor. Good attempt, you know, but it, you know. And so we see Jesus, and you expect Jesus to just say the words and say the name, and bam, it's all done. But here, he's kind of like, I don't know, I guess I can see, I'm not sure. And when Jesus begins to touch you, and when Jesus begins to try to heal you, you can have two responses to this question. You can say, yes, sir, I see, I can see completely, thank you, Jesus, and go on your way with blurred vision. Or you can respond, nah, I don't see nothing. And so here this blind man is confronted with this question, do you see anything? And most of us, we take this all or nothing approach. You know, maybe something like this happens to you and you take an all or nothing approach, a black and white approach, and we either choose yes or no, totally everything or absolutely nothing. And for most of us, or at least me, I know my response is usually, ah, man, God, you really failed me this time. I was expecting something crazy. I was expecting something, you know, total and complete. But I still feel this pain in my back. I still feel, you know, and I don't think you did your thing. And I'm beginning to doubt and lose faith. How many of you have received prayer for healing, and it wasn't a complete healing, and then all of a sudden your faith begins to decrease? Because you expected instant in Jesus and total and full recovery, and because it didn't happen, you're like, oh man, maybe it's not my time, or maybe God is impotent and he can't really do anything. Eugene Peterson, in his book Living in the Middle, says, God is Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we know what the beginning looks like, and we know what the end looks like, but the challenge is, how do we live in that middle? See, because we know that Jesus is victorious, we know the beginning, but here we are living in the middle, and the challenge is living in the middle where nothing is absolutely guaranteed. And that's why we have to hold on to the promises of God, because the promises of God will be fulfilled. But the challenge is living in the messy middle. And so now the question is, why does it take Jesus two times to heal this guy? I hope that encourages somebody, because sometimes it takes multiple times. You know, Elijah, when he was lying on the dead body, it took him multiple times for that body to rise. And sometimes we give up after the first time, and sometimes we give up after the second time. And even Jesus, it took multiple times to see a full and complete restoration. But why does it take a couple times? Well, here Jesus is trying to help the disciples. He's trying to disciple them and try to increase their lack of faith. What we have to take into context is what happened just immediately before this passage. Right immediately before, he fed the 4,000 people with the bread and the fish. And before that, he fed 5,000 people. And he did miraculous signs. And now they're here in the boat, and they're hungry, and they're starving, and they're accusing one another. Hey, did you bring any bread? No, I didn't bring any bread. Did you bring... Who brought bread? Nobody brought bread? I can't believe this. We're going to be starving and hungry. Nobody brought bread for this trip and journey. And here Jesus is probably shaking his head, thinking to himself, unbelievable. You guys just forgot just a moment ago what happened. And he says in verse 16, if you backtrack, they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And this is right after Jesus fed 4,000 people with bread and fish. Jesus, aware of this, in verse 17, said to them, "Do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Have you a hardened heart?" Verse 18, "Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They said, 12. "And he broke the 7 for the 4,000. How many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And he said, 7. And he said to him, "Do you not yet understand?" And then he immediately takes them and does this blind man thing. Because what he's trying to have them understand is that Jesus is trying to communicate to them who he really is. And later in verse 27, he asks the question, "Who do the people say that I am?" This morning, what I want to share with you is that sometimes life is not a formula. You can't come to church and you can't come to revivals and then God is supposed to do things because you've done these things. Because you fast, he's supposed to do these things. Because you come to morning prayer, he's supposed to do these things. The promises of God will be fulfilled, and if he's made a promise to you, it will be fulfilled. But don't be discouraged because when you tried once and it didn't work, or you tried a second time and it didn't work. Even for Jesus, he prayed once and it wasn't a full healing. It was a partial healing. And then he took him by the hand, he took him to the outside. And the reason he did that is because Jesus was never about the miraculous signs. Jesus, in all of his healings, it was never about the miracles. I don't know where we are as a church or where you are as a believer, but Jesus was always against the Pharisees who wanted to see miraculous signs. And of course he can do them, and of course he did them, and of course they were done for a purpose. But for so many of us, we pursue these miracles, and that's great. We pursue healing, and that's great, and we should. But a lot of times that's what it becomes all about. It's because of those. And so he takes this blind man out of the village because he doesn't want the people to be attracted to him because of the signs. He takes him out of the village because he knows and he has compassion for this blind man. And he takes him out of the village because he wants to demonstrate that this is for you, a personal touch, taking him by the hand. And so he does this miracle and he says, "Don't even go back into the village. I don't want you to go back because when you go back, you know, people are going to go crazy. This miracle is for you." You know what? God has a miracle for you. You may be disappointed because you haven't seen it now. You may be disappointed because you're losing your faith or you losing your belief in the power of Jesus Christ. But it's going to happen because his promises are yes and amen. The last thing that I want to talk about is that through this process, you've got to be patient in your obedience because God is going to finish what he started because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Can I get an amen? And see, what Jesus is about is not the miraculous signs. It's about him taking you by the hand. It's about developing that relationship with him. And so we come here for morning prayer. And we seek his face, not for the miraculous signs. We seek his face for him. We pray not for the miraculous sign for its sake. We pray for the miraculous sign so that we may know that he is God and the power of his grace. We come here and we seek his face because even if we are not fully healed, even if we are not fully completely restored, there will be a day where that will happen, where we will be completely healed. We live in the middle, but he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This morning, I just want to encourage you to continue to pray, to continue to be persistent. As you go to your workplaces and you feel discouraged because this deal is not working out the way that it has, you know what? It's just a little battle in this great war, and you will be victorious because Jesus is our faithful Father. Let's pray together. What is the miracle that you need in your life tonight? This morning, excuse me. What is the miracle that you need? I want you to notice it wasn't necessarily the faith of this blind man, but it was the faith of his friends. Maybe there's someone in your life that needs a miracle. And maybe it is your faith that brings this miracle to pass. So I want you to encourage you to pray for that. To be encouraged that it could be your faith, that small faith that you have, as small as a mustard seed, that brings a miracle, that births a miracle into someone else's life. I want you to pray for that this morning. I want you to pray once. I want you to pray twice. I want you to pray three times. Because God is at work. So let's spend some time and let's just pray in faith. God, we need this miracle. Help us, Lord. To our intercessory prayer topics and for our missions focus this morning. Today we're going to be praying for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor O, and let's pray for New Life Church, and let's pray for Grace and Bloom. And so let's lift up Cambodia as we're hearing reports of God really moving in Cambodia. Let's ask, let's pray and just join God in what He's doing in Cambodia. So let's lift up that nation right now. Lord, we pray for the church now. We just pray that you just prosper us. Can we lift up the Philippines and let's pray for Solomon's Clinic and Elder Chang, and let's ask God to really move on the Philippines right now. God, we lift up. Can we really cover Bhutan? As you know, it's one of the darkest nations in our world. And let's just ask God to really shine lights. Let's pray for missionaries there. Let's ask God to have mercy upon persecuted Christians there. And let's ask God to really break through in Bhutan. Let's pray for Bhutan. SP Ministries, and let's focus on our IP team and Cascade and the Well, as they are the spiritual hubs of our church, and especially as we are now in a new facility, their importance are going to be so great, and I know that the enemy is going to try to discourage them, and so let's ask for protection and covering over the IP team. Ask God for greater revelation and wisdom and for healings, and let's ask God to heal hearts and wounded hearts, and so let's really lift up our SP Ministries, the IP team, Cascade and Well. For our house churches, Causeway Bay, Mac Daddy, Mac Robinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront, and the goal is to see an Acts 2 community in our house churches. Let's ask that these house churches would grow in community and love for one another, and so let's lift up our house church and our house church leaders. Father, we thank you that we believe that what you've started in our lives, that you will be faithful to complete it. And God, I pray that we would not be discouraged as we live in the messy middle. But God, we know that you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And Lord, we just lift up just our desires, and we lift up our requests and petitions to you. And God, we just pray that you would just begin to bless it for your kingdom. Lord, use this early morning prayer group of people, God, to rock nations and to shake the foundations of this earth, God. Lord, we pray that our prayers would just begin to move heaven, Lord, and we want to see, we need to see the miracles in our lives, God, for there are people who need to be healed, God, and so we ask for that In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for this morning. We thank you for your mercies that are new. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.